right, let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 8. We're going to look at a parable that for most everybody here is probably quite familiar to you. You have read and studied this parable, heard it preached or taught many times. And so we want to look at it tonight in a little bit different view, just looking at things just a little bit differently. We're going to begin reading at verse number 5, Luke 8, and this is the Lord Jesus speaking to a big crowd, and he says, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold." And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Father, I pray that you will bless your word tonight. Open our hearts to these things of regarding your word. Help us to understand the need for spreading the seed. God, direct in this time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to look at some elements here in this passage. And the first element I want you to see is the sower. The sower in this passage is just a common farmer. He's a common farmer who probably doesn't have a whole lot to work with, probably couldn't do much to prepare the field himself, but he is a common farmer. I know a little bit about farming because I had grandparents who farmed, and my parents both grew up on farms. I didn't get to ever meet my grandparents on my mom's side, but I knew my dad's mom and dad. I knew my grandparents on his side of the family. And my grandpa Gray was just a common farmer. He didn't have a whole lot of ground to deal with. He didn't have a lot of heavy equipment to work with. He had a old Ford tractor and a plow, and maybe he had a couple more things that he could do to prepare the field. But he really didn't have a lot to work with. But he was a common farmer. Although he was a common farmer, he was a famous farmer, you know. Have you ever heard at Christmas time they sing a song about a birth, and in the middle of the song there's a birthday party at the home of Farmer Gray? And finally somebody has heard it. And it's going to be the perfect ending to a perfect day. I knew it had to be about my grandparents because they had 15 kids, and surely one of them had to have a birthday close to Christmas time. And sure enough, at least one did, maybe two. I can't remember for certain. But glad you all knew about my Grandpa Greg. This sower is just a common farmer. There's nothing special about this sower. And he goes out with a special seed. A common farmer with special seed. A sower went out to sow his seed. It's special. And we know already from reading through to verse 11 that the seed is the word of God. And so we know it is very special. And as he goes out, he is doing what we know as broadcasting. Now, normally when you say broadcasting to people today, they think of radio and TV. But the term originated in agriculture, with men going out, taking a pouch that was strapped over their shoulder, and they would reach into that pouch or bag, and they would grab a handful of seed, and they would broadcast it, throw it out wherever it might go. Now, obviously, they're not throwing it out on the road purposely. They're trying to get it onto the good ground, but they didn't have a whole lot of machinery to help with the planting. And since he is planting this way, in all likelihood, he's planting grain. I don't think you would plant tomatoes that way. Pretty sure you don't plant potatoes that way. So he's planting grain. He's broadcasting his seed out on this field. He is a common farmer planting special seed, but in a less than special field. You see, his field's not well prepared. Parts of the field had been hardened by people passing through where there was no road. Parts of the field were just naturally rocky. But the main part of the field was good ground, and that's where he's trying to plant. Part of the field was thorny, but he's in the good area. But some of it, as he casts it out broad way, in a broad manner, some of it goes to places he didn't necessarily want it to go. It just went. I want you to see that the sower can only be partially responsible for the condition of the field. Only partially responsible. He's not going to be able to provide the rainfall. Probably not a whole lot he could do about putting fertilizer out. Wasn't a lot he could do the plowing and disking of the field. He couldn't do that. Maybe a little bit with a plow that just kind of scraped the ground a little bit. But he doesn't have a whole lot of mechanics to work with. Something farmers and a lot of modern day preachers can't understand. You got to have mechanics. You know, you got to have mechanical things going on. So So who's going to prepare that field? The Holy Spirit's going to prepare it. It's going to take the Holy Spirit to prepare that field. So we've got this common farmer taking special seed out to a less than special field. And the yield that he is going to get off of this grain that he plants is an uncertain yield. It is uncertain what will yield. I want you to understand something. It's clear from this text that not every piece of seed took root and grew up. Some of it started to grow up, but it wasn't in the right place. You see, I want you to see that the failures, though, are not in the seed. The failures are in the soil. How the seed is received is what's important. The seed, the word, does not fail, and it never will. Isaiah 40 and verse 8 says, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Mark 13:31, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." 1 Peter 1, verses 24 and 25, Peter refers back to that passage in Isaiah, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." So there's an uncertain yield because of where the seeds land. But even when the seed lands on good ground, the results vary. That's hard for pastors and missionaries and even folks in the pew who really love the Lord and are praying for folks to come in. But Mark chapter 4 and verse 20, Mark talks about this. He's relating this same parable in that chapter. And he says, "And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. You see, the results that we get from sowing seed is not always 100-fold. Now, I know a little bit more about farming than I pretend sometimes. My grandparents had a big plot of their land that they made into a garden. They split it up into three sections, one for them, one for one of my uncles and his wife, and then one for us. And I got to plant corn and potatoes, which is great because that's what I like to eat. I don't know why else they planted this other green stuff. I don't know what was going on in their minds, but for me, corn and potatoes. And I knew how to plant corn by hand. I could plant corn. You drop two kernels of seed corn down at the beginning of the furrow, and then go about a foot, drop another two seeds, all the way down, and then you come back the next furrow and doing the same thing, and then the next furrow, until you've gone down all the designated furrows for corn, planting two at a time, all the way down. Now, when the corn came up, Do you suppose that each stalk brought up one ear of corn, and on that one ear of corn there were two kernels of corn? If that happened, we would have been nuts, right? To waste the money on seed corn when that's all that's going to happen. Well, praise the Lord, it doesn't happen that way. We get, I don't know, three or four ears of corn, and on each ear of corn there's about 100, 120 kernels of corn on it. And we think, you know, that's good because we only planted two and we got 120 times three. That'd be 360 times more than what we, or nearly 360 times more than what we planted. And so that makes sense. We're going to see an increase. It's always going to be an increase. And if we don't have an increase, then we didn't plant in the right place or the right way. The last thing I want you to see about this is that the results are not immediate. The yield is prospective. You have to look forward to that yield. Now, as a kid, when I was helping Mom and Dad plant corn and potatoes, I wanted, you know, if we planted corn on a Thursday evening, I would like to have gone out Tuesday and harvested corn. I would have loved that. I would have loved to dig the potatoes up, you know, the next week after planting potatoes. But it doesn't happen that way. It's a prospective yield. It's a certain increase, but it comes, as Luke records the Lord saying here, it brings forth fruit with patience. It takes patience. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." We want to see immediate results. We'd love to see immediate results. But how often in your ministry at the jail do you see somebody presented with the gospel and right away they respond?
It happens, but not real often.
Not very often. Take some time to work with them. And when that happens, whether you know it or not, it probably happens because God's been dealing with them. God's already been dealing with them. Psalms tells us in Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." So what is our job? Our job is to sow the seed. Or put seed in the hands of the sower. Let me ask you to consider another parable. You won't find this one in your Bible, so you're going to have to listen and memorize it right now, okay? Just memorize the thought. A sower was sent out to sow. A field was chosen. The sower was trained in seed sowing. He was then given travel orders and the funds to pay for a home, a barn, and sowing equipment. The sower went out to sow, but he was only given a small amount of food, of seed, and so the harvest was much smaller than it should have been. Now the seed is the word of God. And all the seed sowing training, sowing equipment, home, barn, methods won't create a good harvest without seed. So if you can't go where the seed needs to be planted, but you know somebody else is there sowing seed, put seed in their hand. Father, we pray that you would help this message to find its way into the hearts of all these folks. We thank you for this dear church. We thank you for the faithfulness, this church preaching your word. We ask that you would just multiply the seed sowers here, so that the harvest can be greater and greater and greater each season. Bless this church. Help them to see the importance of sowing the seed around the world. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.